Good morning, SP. I'm Kaylin from Princeton Health Church, and I'll be leading the EMP this morning. Let's open up with a prayer from the One app. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be people who are willing to forgive each other, as well as willing to confront our own sin. Lord, I come to you today and repent for my sins. May I not take your kindness for granted, but receive your precious offer with open arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we'll be watching a video that takes us through Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. Together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Now let me read the devotion from the app. Four types of people were present in this paragraph. The first type was the friend of the paralytic. From the fact that Jesus had saved him from his sin, this paralytic was not a good person. However, his group of friends had not taken pleasure in his pain, but helped him respective of all circumstances. The second type of person was the paralytic. He had simply heard of Jesus who could heal him and had faith in him. The third type is the Sadducees. Even though they had witnessed Jesus perform miracles, their hearts were hardened. The fourth type were the crowds in the house. When they witnessed Jesus perform miracles, they immediately knew that the miracles are from God and believed. Do you know which category or categories you belong to? Which type of person do you think God would like you to become? And let's turn to Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, you have no excuse, you foolish person, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that matter in which you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, you foolish person who passes judgment on those who practice such things, and yet does them as well, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that his kindness of God, the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will repay each person according to his deeds. To those who, by perseverance in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are self-serving and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he will give wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of mankind who does evil, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Amen. Let's go back to the passage of Mark. As we've seen in the video, Jesus healed the paralytic who had been carried by his four friends. He forgave the man's sin without even asking about it and brought healing to his body. And because of this miracle he performed, for the first time in the book of Mark, he faces opposition from the Jewish religious leaders. This is a very familiar story to all of us, I believe. The event is narrated in three different gospel books, in Matthew chapter 9, Mark 2, and Luke chapter 5. And I think it can be divided into two main parts. One, how the paralytic was brought to Jesus, and the other, how Jesus restored him and what effect it brought upon the people in the scene. And in the first part, we get to be amazed not only at the love and care of the four people for their sick friend, but also their firm faith in Jesus as the healer. Being unable to come near Jesus through the door, it is said that they removed the roof above Jesus and made an opening to let down the bed. Although they found that there were obstacles in their way to getting their paralyzed friend to their only and probably last hope, they still did not give up. They persisted. They looked around and tried to find a way to get hold of Jesus, who they heard had healed many people, including the man with an unclean spirit, Simon Peter's mother-in-law with a fever, the leper, and many more mentioned in Mark chapter 1. If you've watched The Chosen, I really like it. And in one of the episodes, one of the friends, a female one in the movie, she eyewitnessed Jesus, moved by compassion, heal the leper. And I think it might have been how they came to faith in Jesus. Anyways, they were so eager to have their friend to be healed that they would do anything for that. The literal translation of what they did would be they took up the covering and having broken or pulled up, namely as much of the frame or adjoining tiles as was necessary, they let down the couch, which they held by the corners. Without the help of the video, you might have thought that, oh, it's almost 2,000 years ago and I don't think the house is back then were so strong and sturdy that it required them of too much effort to break in that way. But no, the roof was thick and stable enough for people to come out upon it to pray, like Peter did in Acts chapter 10. And this helps us imagine what kind of commotion they might have created. They destroyed the roof with a loud squeaking noise while Jesus was teaching. And it probably took a long time. And their faith caused them to do so, really amazed Jesus. And I remember P. Sam preaching on this passage during our annual fast. And he said that we don't really know whether the object of healing, the man, the paralyzed man himself, had faith. And I agree. Although the devotion from the app suggests that he did have faith, I'm not quite sure about that because the Bible only says that Jesus saw their faith. And in the very previous verses, that they are the four men. And on this premise, Jesus was mesmerized by the faith of the friends, and their faith was enough for him to heal the paralyzed person. And I think it does work this way sometimes, based on my own experience. My husband and I had tried for many years to get pregnant, but it turned out that I had some health issues and it was very unlikely for me to conceive naturally. So doctor suggested IVF, so we decided to go for it, but with the plan B that we will move on to adoption if it still doesn't happen after trying three times of IVF. Throughout the whole process, my mind was tossed to and fro. My faith wavered numerous times. I was anxious and doubtful at each stage. And there were more times when I was in doubt than in faith. Although I received many prophetic prayers that God would give me a child, I often compromised, like Abraham. Okay, God said he was going to give me a child, but he didn't say through what means. So I should be okay with ending up just adopting. I mean, adoption is a beautiful thing and all, but looking back, I hardly had any faith. However, thank God that a lot of my friends, especially my house church members, had faith. Not only did they pray for me, they constantly reminded me of the promises that God gave me that I had almost forgotten. And threw at me encouraging words and Bible verses day and night that really spoke into my heart and just kept me going. Whenever I was in doubt, one of them would phone me or text me saying that, oh, I know it's going to happen, so be at peace, Kaylin. I have faith that God is going to work this time. And I remember thinking, oh, man, I would feel terrible for my house church members than for myself if it doesn't happen. And one night when we gathered as house church, one of the members said to me, hey, Kaylin, the words you got at the retreat is actually that you will get pregnant, not that you will have a child. Don't you remember? And I was like, oh, really? Yeah, you're right. I was so timid about what God can do to the point I just altered the content of what he said. But they, my friends in Christ, have been praying fervently, holding fast to the promise with such unwavering faith. And God worked. I ended up having only two eggs fertilized and implanted, which didn't give me much hope. And surprisingly, one of them survived, which is my daughter, Kelly. I got pregnant on the first try of IVF, and I was just so undone because I had such little faith. So I can't really tell you about my faith, but I can say with confidence that God saw the faith of my friends who broke open the roof and let me down to him. And he was touched by it and healed me. Despite my lack of faith, Jesus was so gracious and heard my friends' prayers and their cries and performed a miracle for me. Moving on from there, now we get to expect to see Jesus heal the man. However, he doesn't do it right away like he did to the leper or the other people in chapter one. But instead he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." As you can see, this is to see what's in the hearts of the people there. The ministry seemed to have been going pretty smoothly so far, but now the religious leaders started trying to pick on what Jesus said and accuse him of blasphemy. If Jesus were without the authority to forgive sins, yes, it would be blasphemy. But it is not, because he had every right to absolve us of guilt. Jesus can forgive sins because he's God, like he said in verse 10, and every sin is committed against him. Jesus also knew that he had the authority because he was going to carry the cross and be crucified on it. And Tim Keller says that this is the answer to the question that Jesus asked in verse 9, which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and pick up your pallet and walk"? The truth is that it is much harder for Jesus to say or do forgive sins than to heal the man, because he had to get all the punishment of sin upon himself to bring about the forgiveness of sins. But he could say, that or do that as he was going to be punished for all our sins. This is much more important to us as well, because maybe someone else could heal us, like doctors, groundbreaking medical treatments, or even people with the gift of healing. But no one can forgive our sins and bring us close to God except God himself. So Jesus declared forgiveness first, and he also told the man to get up, take up the pallet, and go home. And see, compared to forgiving sins, it sounds so much easier to just say that. He didn't even touch him. He simply said, "Rise up and go," as if he was sitting there just for no reason. And the difference in the people's reaction to that of the religious leaders is stark. They all rejoiced and glorified God. They all came to Jesus and listened to his teaching. And their faith has increased now. And let's go back to the questions in the devotion before we start worship. To which category do you belong? Are you like the four friends who had firm faith in Jesus as a healer and miracle worker? Are you like the paralyzed man or me with a little faith? Are you like the crowd or the Sadducees? In a minute, we'll be praying for our community, but let's take a moment before then and think about the manner of our prayers when we do community prayers or pray for any other people in our lives. Do we really pray with faith? Or do we just go through the motion looking at the list of people with different illnesses? If God is willing to heal the people on the list, regardless of their own faith, but concerning our faith as we pray, how would our prayers be different? How powerful and confident can our prayers be? As we meditate on these questions, let's also ask God to increase our faith. And now let me invite Marcus to lead us into worship. Thank you.
never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way to bring it back to you.
With the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the times when we feel discouraged, lonely, or depressed. Send to us those who will speak a kind word, and most of all, make us aware of your abiding presence and constant love, even in the darkest time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's pray for our community. Let's pray for the people suffering from cancer and cancer-related illnesses. Let's pray. Now let's lift up those who are in need of salvation and healing from illnesses. Let's lift up the people who are in need of healing. And let's pray for those who are looking for jobs, praying for open doors. Now let's move on prayers for mission focus. Let's pray for SPNY, SP New York, and North Korea, Open Doors for Ministry, and Missional Opportunities, Partnerships in Asia, Persecuted Churches in the Middle East. Let's pray. Let's lift up the SP Online weekend gatherings. Let's lift up Sunday services. The Well Ministry, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, SP Indonesia, and SP IL services, and SP Philippines services and activities, and HWH, and all the meetings. Let's pray. Let's lift up Alpha, which starts March 6th. Let's pray for guidance by the Holy Spirit and guests, sign-ups, and protection over volunteers. Let's pray. And let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today, Hollywood, Malwan, and Southside. Lastly, it's for Hong Kong. Let me close with the word of prayer. Abba Father, we thank you that you delight in saving souls and healing our bodies, Lord. We thank you that you paid such a great price to free us from the bondage of sin and death. And all we want to do is, as free children of yours, is to make you happy, Lord. So, Abba, we ask you today to increase our faith in you, because without faith, it is impossible to please you. Open our eyes to see your power and might, so our prayers may be lifted up in faith and hope. You are our loving Father, and you love to save, and you love to heal. May we rejoice in this truth today, Lord, and cry out to you for our brothers and sisters in Christ without ceasing. We thank you for your unending love and grace, Lord. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining this morning, and have a blessed weekend.